Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does. We are in the air everywhere. Coast to coast, border to border, and beyond. The power of podcasting 8 days a week. This would be the eighth day of the week if you haven't figured that out now or by now. It's Sunday, and it's a spinoff of the Overnight Show. And we thank our friends at iHeart, the iHeart Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcasts. And it's fueled, for me, it's fueled by Cameo.com. You can check out Cameo.com and a personalized video message and all that. We thank you for supporting the show that way, and for me that way. David Gascon is in here as well, who is still trying to get you to listen to Benny versus the Penny, I think.
Betty versus the Penny, and I have some breaking and great news as we get this thing underway. But yes, Benny versus the Penny, week number 5 was pretty damn good for you. It was a great bounce back for you, and week number 6 we hope is even better as we continue this long journey, turbulent journey, I guess, because you're dodging, you're bobbing and weaving between teams, picks, and the coronavirus because you got a bunch of clubs that are getting pushed back or placed on bye weeks.
Yeah. You're handicapping games on a Friday. Sometimes the games aren't played till Tuesday. Makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's threading a needle, I believe, is the the clinical term for that, for sure. Benny versus the Penny, it's on the YouTube. We do that Fridays, depending on my schedule and Gascon's schedule, either Friday evening or Friday night in the East.
Yeah.
Friday afternoon, Friday night in the West,
and we've dispersed it a little bit more. So we're going to be doing it on YouTube, on Twitch, on Periscope, and then hopefully we could do it on Facebook Live as well. So yeah, 4 different ways, possibly a fifth, but we are splintering out, as they would say, to try to build this thing out, and we got obviously 10 more weeks to do that.
Yes. All right. Let's see. You want some questions about the mailbag here? These are questions. Let's get right into it. We don't have a ton of time today.
We should do it out of the mailbag from the Real Fifth Hour email address.
I have some email from that.
Yeah. Good, because I'm finally starting to see those emails on my phone.
Wait.
Very, very.
I thought you didn't know the password, Gascon.
I did not know the password, but I reset my phone to my Mac, and it somehow linked the two together. It's really good.
All right. Well, let's go to the mailbag. And Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia, bats lead off. He says, since Ben has several food dishes named after him and a drink coming soon, that's true, in Colorado, I was wondering if Gagon had a dish or a drink named after him. What do you think some good names for that would be? Yeah. Gascon, would anyone give you a food dish as an honor?
I don't know, but maybe some chili cheese fries, and we could call it the gas.
No, that's dumb. No. I think, how about like a can of beans and call it the gag on? How about that?
You're fucking lame.
No?
Shut up.
Oh, yours is lame too. Mine's better than yours.
A can of beans? Nobody wants to eat that shit. Chili cheese fries?
Exactly. Listen, that's what I'm saying. Nobody wants to eat your food. My food dishes have been on the menu for years. People enjoy those chicken fingers. Kids love the Maller chicken fingers. Maller Fowler at the strip club in Lawrence, okay, Kansas. They love that. And Denver at the Sportsbook Bar and Grill, those are all good things.
But everybody loves fries. People love chili. And, of course, cheese. You put that all together, it doesn't matter what region of the country.
No. You should do poutine is what you should do.
Yeah, but I'm not Canadian, yo.
It doesn't matter, man. Poutine's a wonderful meal.
It is. It's really good.
It's the greatest thing that Canada's given the world is poutine. It is true. All right. Eric in Binghamton writes and says, Dear Ben and Dave, Pastrami or corned beef? I would go pastrami all day if it were not for the existence of the Reuben. Do they serve such food west of the 405? That's from Eric. Eric, I'm a pastrami guy, and I go to Katz's. Well, I used to go to Katz's in New York, but in L.A. there's Langer's. Langer's Deli in L.A. is the go-to top pastrami spot. It's even better than the New York delis. And it's only open till 4 o'clock. We talked about it before. It's right across from MacArthur Park, where you can get any kind of contraband you possibly want. But that's the pastrami. My dad's more of a corned beef guy, but I'm a pastrami guy. Gascon, you, what smoked meats do you like?
Yeah, I think pastrami is the go-to. There's a spot in San Pedro that's kind of close to where Eddie lives called Busy Bee.
I've heard of that.
It's awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's so good about it?
Well, first of all, they give you a lot more of the substance as opposed to the bread. And I think a lot of sandwich places get lost in that, where they just have these giant pieces of bread. The slices of bread are so thick that it kind of dilutes the substance in the middle of it. And they just continue to pack it on. And whether it's meatball, pastrami, the BLTs are pretty good there too. Some of the cold sandwiches, the chicken breast.
Now, my aunt, through marriage, lives like right near that, within that neighborhood around the Busy Bee, because it's in the middle of a neighborhood. And every time I've gone down there, it's been like on Thanksgiving, the Busy Bee's closed.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to get a delicious pastrami sandwich. And I need to get there, because I've heard good things about it.
It's delicious. So.
All right. Travis in Roseburg, Oregon writes, and he says, Ben, how would you rate the producers that covered for Coop from best to Gascon? I mean, worst. I think we've been through that. Gascon obviously is at the bottom. Everyone else is ahead of Gascon, so that's all you need to know. Chris in Edmonton writes in, says, are you currently working on any side projects, Ben, like music or art? No music, although I have a few things in the hopper right now. I was contacted by somebody the other day about a project, something that I've thought about doing for a long time that I have not been able to pull off. And it's not... I don't want to say anymore because I've been told I have a vow of silence. I'm not allowed to talk about it publicly, but I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. I'll be Benny Brightside on this Mahler Sunshine that this will work out. And when I'm allowed to talk about it, I will. It'll take a lot of work to do this project. It'll take a lot of time to do this project, and we'll see whether it happens or not. There's that. Are you working on anything else, Gascon? I know you're you claim to be an actor. You're in commercials and all that crap that you do, right?
Well, we're in some. Benny versus the Penny takes a lot of time to kind of put together and work on. So it's not as easy as just flipping on a switch and putting our mean mugs on a camera screen or a picture. So yeah, we've been working on that and trying to have that thing take off. It's original content. So
yes. Yes, people think that that's like a part of the corporate overlord structure. It's not. It's a standalone, do-it-yourself type situation.
That is your baby. That is your baby since when? Like 15 years ago?
I did it on the radio for a long time, and now, we did the podcast last year, so it goes back many, many years. I think the Turk Stevens, who you probably don't even know, he was the guy, one of the original guys, and... Yeah, we called it, originally it wasn't Benny versus the Penny, it was Ben versus the Coin. Mm-hmm. But then one of my producers was like, hey, it's more catchy, Benny versus the Penny. So we switched it up to Benny versus the Penny.
Nice.
For marketing reasons. So we do that. Carlos from Houston writes in, he says, how long has the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios been the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, and what was it called before? All right, Carlos, that's a good question. It has been the Geico Studios for probably 10 years at least. Maybe longer than that. Before, it was called the AutoZone Studios, fueled by AutoZone. Get in the zone with AutoZone. In fact, if you we have the in the main studio, we have the backdrop with the Fox logo all over it and all that stuff. But if you peel that back like wallpaper, they still have on the original wall, the AutoZone Studio sign is still in there. They didn't take it down. They just left it up. I'm not kidding. They left the thing up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that's it. And Gascon, quit being jealous. Don't be a jealous bitch. Ben doesn't have a choice but to work from home. Cut the guy some slack. Well, thank you, Carlos, in Houston. There's somebody in Houston that gets it, Gascon.
What a nut job.
Guy's good.
Guy's a nut hugger. That's what he is.
I like that guy. It's one of the only people in Houston I like. There's five of them, and he's one of them. John in SoCal says, Ben, what happened to the Insta Advice Line caller that said, I'd look him square in the eye and say, you hang up on yourself, Ben Maller. John. Well, as you know, I am the mother to all the people that call into the Insta Advice. I don't know what happened to the guy. The guy either changed jobs or he decided he's not going to stay up anymore at night or something that happened to him and his health and all that. These guys, they come and go, unfortunately. And we've had a lot of the Instant Advice guys that stick around. But that was actually an homage to Mark, the full name guy. I'd look him square in the eye and say, you hang up on yourself, Ben Maller. Because Mark, the full name guy who got into a hissy fit with me one time, that's the line that he used. You hang up on yourself, Ben Maller. And then, so yeah, that's the bit.
I listened to that live. That was pretty, was a really good shot towards you. I did not understand why he was blowing up at you. And then all of a sudden, bang, you hang up on yourself, Ben Maller.
No, he's crazy. Yeah. He's nuts. Fun. He doesn't listen to this podcast, so we can say that. What else do we have? Pierre from Springfield, friend of Alf the Alien Opiner, says, fallout from the apocalypse results in new categories for the Bennies this year. Worst fill-in producer, congratulations, Gascon, you win by a landslide. Worst fill-in trending correspondent, a.k.a. the Wreck-It Ralph Award. Who would win that? Would Brian Finley win that, the Wreck-It Ralph Award?
Got to be Wreck-It Ralph.
Well, he hasn't done the show, though, this year. I don't think he's worked with me.
No.
They usually put Finley in there. You know, you other guys can't handle working overnight. So
I prefer not to. I like to sleep.
Embarrassing. Embarrassing. Says, surprise call of the year, Alf the Alien Opiner is going with Doc Mike's incarcerated brother, Revelation, and Pinto's Wild Animal Sanctuary. Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was my favorite call. Pinto, who's... I take the call from Pinto. He's screaming, and he says, I'm screaming at my cat. And then during the call, it's revealed that he picked up a bobcat and is domesticating a bobcat as his house pet. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, man.
What could possibly go wrong with that, right?
That's good.
All right, and then he says, two questions for Gagon. A, who do you think you are? And B, how many mirrors are there in the Gagon compound?
I don't have any mirrors.
No mirrors?
No. I mean, mirror in the bathroom, that's about it.
Huh. That's not what I hear. All right, we have some questions about sex. You want those questions?
Fire away.
All right, Chris in Maquoketa, Iowa. About an hour north of Moline, Illinois, says, ever had sex outdoors? If so, where? Go ahead, Gascon. The great outdoors.
Would you classify a car outdoors?
Well, if that's the case, then I'm in that category. I think most people in high school start out, maybe not now, but back in the day. No, I'm thinking like out in the woods, you know, out in the sticks.
Beach.
Beach. Yeah. Oh, you have done the beach there.
Yeah.
Did you have a tent, or were you out there at night? Were you
in the, yeah, nighttime. Towels.
Under the stars.
Yeah.
Did you get sand everywhere, Gascon?
Probably. Probably. In front of a police station was the wildest.
Wow. Yeah. Look at you, man. Well, you had the ultimate get-out-of-trouble card, though. You know.
This is...
Many people don't know the chief.
But it wasn't in Los Angeles, I'll say that much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. What else do we have here? Let's see. Page down. Oh, this one from Jet Fuel George. He says, I once asked a girl how she liked her eggs as a pickup line. She answered, unfertilized. What's the best line a girl has ever thrown at you? All right, Gascon, any amazing lines?
Because I have a cleft in my chin, a butt chin, and I had one female that said, were you kissed by an angel?
Wow.
That was one line.
I'm not at the top of my head here, Jet Fuel George, off the top of my head, I'm not recalling any I know there have been some good ones, but I can't think of any right now. Kentucky J. Yes?
I got a great story that I would be perfect for this spot. I have a buddy of mine who went to Vegas.
Yeah.
And it was raining, and we were inside actually the Marquee, which is in like XS and the Wynn hotels and all that stuff. They're all connected. So he went inside the Marquee, and we were at this club. And it was raining outside, so when we got into the club, it was indoor and outdoor. And my buddy went up to this chick, and he said, "How about you and me go fuck in the rain?"
Whoa!
She slapped him, and he said, "What, you don't like the rain?" And he fucking took her back to the room. She went from slapping him to laughing at him and fucking banged him. It was pretty wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
That was pretty good.
Who knew? Yeah. All right. Kentucky J and Kentucky Tay right in from Scottsville, Kentucky.
Yes.
And I have a couple of questions here. Now, by the way, they sent a photo on Facebook. You're not on Facebook. Good-looking family. Beautiful kid there. And they, you know, standing in front of some water. And, yeah.
Nice.
Pretty cool. Let's see here. We're asking this question from Hilton Head, South Carolina. I guess that photo must have been taken in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Who knew? When eating fresh seafood, what is your go-to meal? That's from Kentucky J. CJ, I'm not a big seafood guy. I like the beer-battered fish sticks. That's about the only seafood I really... When I was a kid, I ate salmon. My mom would make like salmon patties and things like that. And she fed me a lot of fish when I was a kid, so tuna fish, that kind of stuff. But I just like, the only fish I really go for is like a fish covered in beer batter and fried with tartar sauce and all that stuff. You?
Just Jessica? Tuna. Ahi tuna.
Ahi.
Yeah, that's about it. I'm not a big seafood guy either.
All right, then Tay wants us to know who's going to win the Super Bowl. You want to pick who's going to win? I don't know. If I knew that, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in Vegas.
Yeah.
Making a lot of money. No chalk, though. I think the Chiefs, by the end of the year, will be the team.
Yeah.
Chuck in Cincinnati on Twitter says, "Do you hate the Lakers because they made you pay for a ticket like the Seahawks did last year?" No. I didn't even pay for a ticket to the Seahawks game. I didn't even go to the game. I went to a restaurant with some listeners, and we watched the game on television and ate some food. That's what happened. And the Lakers didn't make me pay for tickets either. But I just don't like the arrogance of the historian. I do not like it. Do not appreciate it. La-ti-da nonsense. They really should move west to the 405 is what they should do. Lee in Phoenix says, "Where is the worst smelling place you've been? Where is the worst smelling place you've been?" I will answer that, Lee. The worst smelling place I have been would be the Las Vegas Strip at the end of 2019. Was walking around. It was like around midnight, right next to the New York Hotel and Casino. New York Hotel and Casino. And they got the hockey arena there with the Golden Knights arena. And there had been a sewer leak, a fresh sewer leak. And so there was raw feces that had been pouring out into the street. And we happened to walk right by it. And it was the most foul, pungent smell. It was horrific. And it smelled the entire strip as far as we could imagine. I wouldn't walk the whole thing because it was terrible, the smell. But and even some of the hotels on the lower, when you kind of go into the lobby of those hotels there where they have the slot machines, it smelled like shit. It was unbelievable. What about you, Gasco?
Same thing. It was a couple years ago, but going to the Cosmopolitan, a buddy and I check in. And as soon as we checked in, we just smelled something that was just, it smelled like death.
You stayed at the Cosmopolitan? That's a chick hotel.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. That's a bougie hotel designed to bring in women.
Well, I brought in women.
Yeah, well, what are you doing staying there?
What's wrong with that?
It's not a masculine hotel.
Who cares about how masculine it is? If there's ass there, then you go there.
But you can go there. You don't have to stay there.
Well, we got upgraded. Anyways, the plumbing broke underneath the hotel. And so all the sewage dumped underneath the hotel, like everything. It smelled like it was just like what you were just describing. It was an awful, awful smell. So they upgraded us from a regular room to a suite.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but it was like that the entire weekend. They couldn't do anything about it a pipe bursted and
so everyone was getting upgraded.
Yes,
boy, Vegas is taking it in the shorts this year because of the COVID and people aren't traveling there. And have you seen some of the hotels only open on the weekends, closing during the week?
Yeah, that's wild.
It sucks, man.
Yeah.
When's that going to change, Gascon? Do you have your crystal ball out? When's that going to change?
I'll let you know November 4th.
November 4th? Is that right? Okay. So depending on which team wins, we'll be in good shape there?
Yeah. Neither that, or we'll see what happens with the Supreme Court.
Oh, okay. So that could be the difference as well.
Yes.
All right. Very, very good. Let's see. Who else do we have? These are actual questions by actual listeners. This guy didn't write his name. He just ranted and complained about the LeBron James versus Michael Jordan debates on ESPN. I don't work at ESPN. I don't know what's going on with them. You should address that to them. Ryan in Portland writes in. He says, Portland, Oregon, is Sean Payton the most overrated coach in the NFL? He's called an offensive guru by multiple people. I watched 1.5 Saints games a year, and it seems like their offense has been the same for 10 years. Whenever Taysom Hill comes in, he does the same thing. Yeah. Well, you know the deal here, Ryan, and when the legend becomes the fact, you go with the legend. And the Saints have been one of the top offensive teams statistically in points and yards per game in Sean Payton's tenure with Drew Brees, so they've been very successful. The productivity has been there, so you do have that, but your reputation precedes you, right? Whether it's good or bad. If you're tagged as a terrible coach, that's going to follow you around. If you're tagged as a great coach, it's going to follow you around. It's like Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians, the media loves him because Bruce Arians is a blowhard and he's very verbose and all that. So they give him a little extra leeway and things like that. And I guess Sean Payton's the same way. I don't know.
What about John Gruden?
Yeah, Gruden gets a lot of that too. Gruden's, if you look at his record, even when he won the Super Bowl in Tampa, but the last several years as coach, he was very mediocre. After that in Tampa, they were very blah. Not impressive. Not impressive all that much at all. All right, what do we have next here? Let's see, a couple more of these amazing questions from Steve-O, but not that Steve-O in Florida. My question is more for Ben and not the douche nozzle from West of the 405. Ben, is it too soon for Kobe to be involved in lame jokes? Now, Steve-O, I think you emailed me this as well, in addition to posting it on Facebook. So the way I'll answer that is, yeah, I think you got to wait a year. With Kobe, I think you got to wait a year. So we're not that far away, actually, from the year mark, because the year is winding up here in 2020. So I think you got to wait a year. The other stumbling block that we have is that I'm surrounded by Laker fanboys and historians, and so they're not going to want any kind of Kobe jokes on the air, and that's the other issue. But if you get me on a night when Coop's not there and Roberto's not there, which happens every once in a while, then it's open season. Why not? There are some good Kobe jokes. Even Kobe, if he was alive, he came back, would laugh at the jokes. He'd think they're funny. Yeah, they're mildly amusing. But I think we got to wait a year.
Probably. And especially because you're also heard on 570 in Los Angeles. So you got a lot of Laker fans.
It doesn't matter. Oh, please. Grow some rhino skin. What's wrong with you? Yeah. Shame on you, Gascon. Bad job by you. All right, we have some other Sporto questions. That's about it, Gascon. Do you want to do a Sporto question?
Sure.
All right. Mike from Maricopa, Iowa, writes in again. He says, what's the Lions' chances on the tank for Lawrence mayhem? Are the Lions the worst at being the worst and are going to mess this up?
I think the Jets are going to be the worst of the worst.
Well, it's a dead heat. It's a three-horse race at this point. You've got the Giants, as we're doing this, heading into the last, you know, the weekend, the Sunday activity. The Giants at 0-5 would have the number one pick because of strength of schedule. Atlanta would be second. The Jets would be third. The Lions, because they won a game, they would have the ninth pick. They're 1-3. They're 1-3, so they would have the ninth pick in the draft. So they have to hope that Houston – well, actually, Houston's got the eighth pick, but that goes to Miami. Right. Minnesota's ahead of the Lions, Jacksonville, Washington, and the Chargers. The Chargers would have the fourth pick in the draft if the season ended today and lose a lot of money. But it goes to strength of schedule is the big thing.
I think the way that the division is, at least in the NFC East, the Giants are going to fall their way into another victory. I think this is the Jets, no matter
what. Well, they might this weekend. They play the Washington football team, fully known as the Redskins. Yeah. So you figure those teams probably split the games.
Yeah.
So if they split the games, then that's Washington at 2 wins. That should eliminate them. The Jets, they have no obvious win, the Jets, because maybe the Dolphins, but the Dolphins looked like an average type of team to me.
Yeah.
They don't look terrible, the Dolphins. They're not good, but they're like a 6 type win team.
Yeah.
6-10 team, which is much better than a 2-14 type of team. So that's the deal there. And, you know, the playoff matchups, if the season ended right now, Gascon, the two teams that have buys would be Tennessee. They have the top record, 4-0 in the AFC. And Seattle would have, because they're 5-0, and Green Bay, even though they're 4-0, Green Bay would not, 5-0 trumps 4-0.
Which is so odd. A team with one of the worst defenses in the entire National Football League is up there.
Yeah, and the Cowboys would be in the playoffs. From the under 500 Cowboys would be in. They play the Rams. The Rams are the 5 seed as of right now.
Yeah.
Nothing better than looking at playoff matchups heading into week 6. All right. Here's your possible playoff matchups in the National Football League.
Oh, they're games of note.
Oh, that's right. Games. We have lots of games of note we would like to discuss with inquiring minds would like to know. Yes, that is correct. Also, Adrian wrote in from Denver, and he actually gave us the call-in number. He wants to have the Broncos play-by-play guy on our podcast, on a Friday podcast. Yeah. Dave Logan, the voice of the Broncos. You're a Bronco fan, Gascon.
Yeah.
So now that you can check your email, you can see that number there, and you can try to book Dave Logan as a guest on this podcast.
I could try.
No, don't try. Do it.
You're usually pretty wishy-washy on recommendations.
No, the one NFL guy we were going to get he couldn't do it because he had to go to the track, remember?
Oh, yeah.
We can get him on. I'd put him on. Why don't we try to get him next week?
Yeah, we could do that.
No? Yeah, all right. And Adrian also says, I've been shaving my head for over 15 years. You should too, Ben. The barbershop is a ripoff. I promise I don't work for the Dollar Shave Club, but they have great shaving products, he says. And then he recommended a certain six-blade razor, he claimed, as the thing. Well, I did write back to him, and I thanked him for the tip. And I have trimmed the hair a little bit. I've trimmed the hair.
Just let it go, man. Let it go.
You know, it doesn't look. I noticed when I trim it, it doesn't look as bad. It looks just like I've got like a buzz cut, and there's not that much hair there, so it looks fine. But when it's weird. My hair, I have fine hair because I'm a fine person, and when my hair grows out, it looks really bad, like really, really bad. You know, it's disgusting.
Everybody's hair when it grows out looks bad.
No, but I look like I have no hair on the top of my head, but I have it on the side. But yet when I trim it, it looks like it's more balanced.
Ah, okay. I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's an optical illusion is what it is. I'm the crazy nutty professor is what I am.
Gotcha.
Yes, exactly. All right, that's it. I think we're out of questions, guys. Anything else you would like to add as an addendum to the podcast or anything you want to throw in here as a curveball? You've ended B or Not to Be. You're upset because B or Not to Be, Babylon B has become very popular. You're bothered by this. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's Tony Bruno loves the Babylon B.
Yeah.
Tony Bruno.
Tony's found it. He's into it.
Yeah, that is... I don't know how much radio he's doing these days since obviously with what happened recently with Sirius XM, but he loves the Babylon Bee.
He's all about the Babylon Bee. The Babylon Bee.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, but please, you know, obviously with Benny versus the Penny, it's on YouTube. If you could subscribe, you can hit the reminder because it's on every Friday with us. And thumbs up, as you said during the shows, helps out a lot, and it helps out in terms of just marketing and production and whatnot.
Yes. Word of mouth. That's the only way we're going to grow this thing. So please help us out. Spread the gospel And you might not think it matters, but believe it or not, it amazingly does. We're back on the radio tonight, Sunday night into Monday, 11 p.m. in the West on Sunday night, 2 a.m. on Monday morning in the East. 4 hours of sports chatter. We'll react to all the things that happened here on this Sunday in the NFL. So we look forward to that and whatever else happened, the baseball season winding down with the World Series coming up. So we got it all to look forward to. I'm excited about that, Geska.
It's a fun time. It is a really fun time, especially because the Dodgers offense woke up a couple days ago, but now we'll see if it continues into another week. And if it doesn't, I know you'll have a monologue that'll take you off the rails.
See, the great thing about you, Geska, is, you know, they tell you when you're doing a podcast, don't date the podcast. You've just dated the podcast.
No, that's not true.
You're such a dummy. You've dated the podcast. It's a shame on you.
Well, see,
shame on
you. I was thinking about this the other day. Don't you think in a way that we shouldn't worry about this because you put out so much content that things, like, they don't, you know, everything is not evergreen with what you do anymore.
Yeah, I try to have it breathe a little bit, though, and have a lifespan of a little while. You know, it's my goal, a little while. I don't want it to have the lifespan of a trash fly, you know, a garbage fly or something like that.
Or how about a squirrel or a chipmunk?
In the compost bin in front of the Mallard Mansion, that kind of thing, yeah. Not long for the world. All right. Have a great day today. Thank you for supporting all this nonsense, and we'll catch you next time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.